All right, everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. From the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to, and then we bring it to you completely for free in under an hour. And man, we're excited to be back. Tivo, we're getting some volatility here to kick off the week. We had a big old action-packed week last week, the one before that, news events, catalysts, the Federal Reserve cutting rates, adoption, ETFs, I mean, you name it. It's just been a series of events here in the crypto market. But man, we love keeping up with it all. There's a lot to talk about as the crypto market's seen a little bit of a dip here today. However, we want to show you what the whales are doing. We want to talk about what the big players, the treasury companies, the whales, all these behemoths, what they're doing behind the scenes so that you all can stay informed. And of course, there's a lot of stuff happening in the wake of coming out of such a big week. And there's even a few altcoins that are just absolutely booming despite what's happening on, I'd say, more of the large cap names that are actually falling here about 5% to the downside. We actually have a few cryptos here. I mean, some stats are putting these things up in terms of like 800%+ in transactions and activity and a lot of stuff. So we want to talk about some of these altcoins that are booming, kind of shed a light onto this situation. And again, there's a lot of good happening here. So we're going to dive into it all. But Tivo, man, I mean, what a way to start off the week. Some pretty deep red on that Sunday night dump. What do you think about it?
Yeah, we said we had a huge live stream Friday. It was super fun. And if you missed it, definitely go check it out because we did a lot of TA and we'll do some more here. But we said on Friday, like, hey, we might take Monday off unless something big happens. Here we are on Monday because something big has happened. And I think we kind of nailed it, right? Like, we were kind of, you know, obviously we're long-term bulls, but, you know, credit to us, dude. On Friday, we said, as excited as we are and, you know, where the prices are, we kind of felt like it was getting to the point where after the Fed cut, everybody was kind of on the same side of the boat, right? Everybody's like, well, the Fed's cutting and we're going into the year and it's October, so it's straight up from here. And whenever you start feeling that and looking around and on, you know, whether it's X or your friend group or your trading group, and everybody's just like, hey, it's a clear runway to do nothing but go up, you know, that's when you want to be vigilant. And again, it wasn't a, you know, sell everything, but, you know, the market's over, it's tipping point. It's just, you know, when people get super, super excited, which we're going to talk about, is, you know, people start putting on leverage and getting overextended, and, you know, market makers and traders can see that and start attacking. And I think that's what we're seeing here. But, you know, again, there's what's going on in the minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day markets. And then there's the broader long term vision. And we're going to cover that all in about 20, 30 minutes here. So, yeah, it should be a good episode. And just for everybody out there this week, impromptu Monday. So we're here now on Monday. We're going to have a regular Crypto 101 podcast episode tomorrow. Go out in the morning. We're going to do a live with Brian and Joe Tuesday afternoon. And then we will do the Prepare for October live stream on Friday that we previewed last week. So we'll get the whole entire team here on Friday. So an awesome week, an exciting week, but kicking it off Monday with a lot of news. So let's dive in.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. It is the largest leverage flush out that we've seen since March, maybe even a little bit longer than that. But I mean, this is a really interesting chart, Tivo. And if we pull it up and we take a look at it, I mean, what you can see here is that it was a massive amount of liquidations. Over $1.5 billion worth of longs were liquidated just yesterday. I mean, just in the last 24 hours or so here. And so this is a gigantic sell-off. Feels a little bit strange, I got to be honest. You know, we kind of talked about this, but it's a lot of liquidations, man. I mean, on the CoinGlass chart that you can see on your screen, and again, friendly reminder here that if you're coming from Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Audible or anywhere else, and you're curious about the charts and the data and the graphics that we're going to be putting on the screen, you got to head over to our YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. Check us out over there, and that's where we're going to have all the...
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages.
That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number, so make sure it's protected with Afani.
If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify. All right, Crypto 101 fam, after a long day of podcasting and trading these markets, you know I need a good night's sleep. And comfort is personal. For me, it's a mattress that's soft enough to sink into at the end of a long day, but supportive enough to keep my back happy in the morning. That's exactly what I get with the Avocado Green Mattress Eco Organic Mattress. It's their most affordable certified organic mattress without compromise. Medium firm with a plush organic latex and up to 1,000 steel coils that reduce motion transfer and keep your spine aligned. Every night, I get world-class back support that feels just as good getting in as it does getting out, which we all know as we get older, getting out of bed sometimes is the hardest part of the day if you don't get a good night's sleep and your back hurts. And guys, here's the kicker. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supplies, so they cut out the middleman and pass on the savings to you. You get premium certified organic quality without the premium price tag. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattress. That's avocadogreenmattress.com for 20% off. Avocado, dream of better.
Visuals. But we have this chart on the screen here from CoinGlass, and it shows that, like, as far back as this goes, this was their largest liquidation event. Now, is this the largest liquidation event in history? From my understanding, no, there's been larger ones. But, you know, as far back as we can go on this chart, which goes to March, I mean, this is the largest liquidation that we've seen in a while. $1.5 billion in a 24-hour window is a lot of liquidations. And so during these sell-off events, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, they can very well, when we hit these record levels of sell-offs and liquidations, they can actually act as a bottoming catalyst. In the same way that if you look down there at the opposite end of the chart and you say, well, what were the biggest sell-offs? What were the biggest liquidations for shorts? And then those tend to act as bottoming opportunities. So we're looking at this, and again, oftentimes these tend to mark bottoms in the market. So the one thing I want to look at is, we're going to pull up the charts here in just a second, but we want everyone to understand, I mean, there's a massive liquidation event. However, there's two questions I want to ask. In the times like this, where there tends to be the most fear, what are you doing, number one? And number two, what are whales doing? What are the smart money doing? What are the behemoths of the space doing behind the scenes? And again, I want you to compare what you're doing to what the whales are doing, and we're going to show what they're doing actually behind the scenes here. So, I mean, what I'm going to do here, Tivo, is I'm going to throw up a chart. We're going to take a quick look at what's happening over here on Bitcoin and everything else. And again, I think it's just a little bit of fear. You know, we've kind of talked about this idea of a slip, dip, and a rip. You look at the overall health of the crypto space here, and you know, I don't think that this is anything too catastrophic. So, I mean, let's take a look at what's happening here on Bitcoin first, because it's pretty interesting. So we have this move to the upside. I mean, we talked about this. We held this previous high, bounced off of it as a support, bounced again off this AVWAP, pushed through the 20, through the 50. We're pushing higher, and then we get the sell-off event. So now where are we coming back into? Well, we're coming back into a pretty big support zone around 112, 113,000, and we can already see Bitcoin catching in here. So I really would actually kind of look at the 112, the $113,000 level as one of the defining support zones for Bitcoin. Now, there is going to be another big one down here around 107, 108. But again, I think the really big level that I want to see is a higher low around 112. So I want to see this kind of hold and for us to push forward. And I think that actually creates a golden window. If we can hold the zone and start pushing back to the upside on Bitcoin, I think we're priming ourselves for all-time highs. If we start to spill over, you know, we start to get a little bit of a different story, and maybe we have to come back later in the week and say, okay, like, let's actually reevaluate this for what a lower push could look like. But I do think that this is going to be one of the defining moments and the defining zones for Bitcoin, where we look at this and say, this is one of the critical support levels. And if we kind of break here, then there's definitely some room further to the downside. But I would look at this as again, a kind of a defining moment of support for Bitcoin. This is where I want to see this thing hold. And so this is that sell-off catalyst that we saw. But again, the largest liquidation event that we've seen since March, maybe even longer than that, and Bitcoin's price from, I mean, if we look at this from top to bottom, only fell about 3%, right? That's really not that bad. I think usually if we see these largest liquidation events, you know, where we only get like one, maybe two of these size events every year, and we only fall 3%, that's really not that bad. And so I want to kind of put this in hindsight for everyone and say Bitcoin actually held up. It only fell 3% after $1.5 billion worth of liquidations. And that's really not that much as opposed to what I think a lot of us are used to. I mean, you look at all these candles that are the size of what we just saw, if not bigger. And we've seen plenty of days this year where Bitcoin fell more than 3%. So a 3% move down, not the end of the world, not the worst thing. And again, the overall structure of Bitcoin, at least right here, is still very much intact. So I look at this. I think the frustrating thing is that people are looking at altcoins now and saying Bitcoin's now down 1.8%, but most altcoins are still down 5, 6, 7%, some more, some a little bit less. And so people are really starting to feel the move in the altcoin markets. But again, this is normal. Bitcoin's down 2%. We always say altcoins move at around 2 to 3x the volatility. So we are seeing altcoins down around 5 to 6%. Kind of across the board on the day. Again, some are going to be a little bit more, some are going to be a little bit less, but that is one of the things that we are noticing in here. So a couple of areas to keep an eye out on. I know Ethereum's kind of coming back down and actually breaking down to lower than its previous consolidation range, which is, again, something a little bit concerning. I think it's something to kind of keep an eye out on here, Tivo, is when we're having Ethereum break down. Again, big picture, not the biggest deal, but for all those short-term traders, you're kind of looking at a new fresh low and saying, well, you know, this is actually kind of interesting. Certainly something to pay attention to is it looks like the bears are getting a little bit of extra strength. You could also look at this on some of the other charts. I know Solana was one that we talked about, Tivo, and we looked at this thing and we said, look, it's had big resistance at around 250 to 260. We tapped it for the fourth time. We showed what it's done previously. Now we're coming back up here. And again, it's played out as resistance, but now we're coming in to this very much needed pullback. And I think that this is just an opportunity for it and a lot of other coins to refuel on what we like to call the slip, dip, and a rip. When the markets slip, they fall, they dip a little bit, and then they can kind of continue from a rip afterwards. So again, I'm not going to say it's impossible for us to have any more downside. I think that's silly here. I don't know, man. I still look as the overall market as being pretty healthy, and there's really no like harsh negative catalyst that should be pushing the markets down for like another just extended move to the downside of like anything double digits. So I view this space as overall still pretty healthy, and you'll see why as we get into all these catalysts here, and there's a lot more to talk about, but.
Yeah, and again, I think we pulled this up on Friday, so there's not much of a change, especially in today's move. But the sense that, you know, fear greed index is, you know, 47. It might have been 52 on Friday. I can't remember the exact thing. I know the altcoin index was about 70 maybe. And so you're going to start seeing these come back into neutral. fear greed after today, depending on what happens tomorrow. I mean, you could again start getting into that fear territory. So again, that's traditionally, it's like we're not giving personal financial advice here for anybody. It's just, you know, the trends of the market are when, you know, especially a fear greed and nasty price action coincide together. You know, that's, you know, you want to be kind of in the counter thought process. You don't want to be on the same side of the boat, which is what we said on Friday. Great cuts, everybody's bulled up or going to the moon. And now, you know, you're going to see on the timeline that, like Brendan showed you, you're breaking some, you know, some support angles. So everybody's going to start saying, hey, it's all over, sell everything. So, you know, you gotta parse through the noise. That's what we do here every week. So you're in the right place. And, you know, I think we just got to kind of move on to the next topic of showcasing what all the whales and the big players in the game are doing. We'll start off with Metaplanet, Brendan.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to the original question that we asked at the beginning, right? What's happening in the market? And then how are you responding? And then how are the whales responding? And Metaplanet, what are they doing? Well, they're buying another $633 million worth of Bitcoin. They're not selling all their bags. They're not ending their treasury. They're not pouting and going home and getting upset about it. They're saying, man, thank goodness, this is a buying opportunity. We're actually going to accumulate quite a lot on this dip. And that's how they're acting on it. Let's look at the next one. Well, we have Strategy, right? Michael Saylor coming out saying, hey, we're going to buy another 850 Bitcoin. We're going to add another $100 million worth of Bitcoin. He's been very famous for, oh, we're going to put another orange dot on the chart. And he did it, $100 million buy. Here's another one. Vivek Ramaswamy's Strive is set to buy Semler Scientific and all in essentially like an all stock deal. And they're going to be boosting their Bitcoin treasury above 10,900 Bitcoin. So again, what are people doing here? They're looking on how can I accumulate more Bitcoin? Some just buy it outright. Some do it in acquisitions and other ways. But essentially, they're looking at this dip. They're scrambling at the sight of this dip. And they're saying, how can we get our hands on more Bitcoin? So again, another one that's happening here.
And this is a twofold, I think. Not only is this a Bitcoin accumulation play, but it's also obviously Vivek was and still is in the political sphere. You know, obviously was very vocal and seen a lot during the last campaign cycle. He's since definitely, you know, gone kind of back into private life and not involved in the administration anymore. But I still believe he's running for governor of Ohio, I believe, for the next whenever that cycle comes up. So as much as, again, this is exciting and again, deep diving into the accumulation of Bitcoin in the private sector, this still has kind of that, you know, regulation government sector tied to it as well.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, 100%, man. I mean, let's talk about the Ethereum side too. Can't forget about our good old buddy Tom Lee over at Bitmine. I mean, they've just been, again, accumulating more. They're looking at every dip as accumulation points. And now they're holding more than 2% of the supply. I mean, they have over 2.4 million Ethereum, and they just continue to buy and buy and buy. So let's go back to that original question. You know, what are you doing at moments like this? Because here's the deal. The crypto market, it's going to fluctuate, right? We know it's volatile. I think everyone in the crypto space, they get in. And they like the space, and usually a lot of people get in because they know it's volatile. Now, volatility works both ways, right? It goes up, it goes down. That's just natural. I mean, that's not going to be something that goes away. So we kind of experience these pullbacks. We know that this comes with the space. There's both upside and downside volatility. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's why most of us are probably here in the first place. I think the cool thing is that coming out of that event last week, right? Again, we've said this a million times, but historically speaking, looking at rate cuts in a consistent rate cutting environment has been a really good time for the crypto markets. Now, again, we're not going to zoom in and say, oh, you know, it's everything's so focused on what happens within a day or a week. Again, no, it's much more zoomed out than that when we look at these numbers. But an interesting thing is that, you know, crypto investment products last week drew $1.9 billion in weekly inflows after the Fed rate cut. That's a crazy number. And I know, I think we have an article for this as well to put on the screen for everyone. But it's a crazy number. Think about that. $1.9 billion in crypto investment products. It's a wild number, Tebow.
Yeah, and I just saw something hot off the wire that I'm going to pull up because, again, yeah. It's similar to it's not, it has nothing to do with the rate cut as much, but I just saw that the U.S. and U.K., I'll pull this up, announced a task force to explore cooperation on crypto regulation. So that is, again, that's hot off the wire. No more specific news kind of to deep dive into there. But I do know that last week there was the, I don't know exactly what it was titled, but it was a, you know, a state visit. You know, President Trump was there. Marco Rubio was there. Kind of, you know, I believe even Bessent was there. And there were a lot of CEOs there. So Palantir was there and Microsoft and Google. And, you know, everybody's over there cutting deals. I'm not sure if Tim, I think Tim Cook might have been there. But it was, it felt like one of those kind of big events where it's a nation state. We're doing this. It's for, you know, cameras and pictures and we're working together on things, but it's really just a giant, you know, deal making summit for those two countries. So actually excited to see this, but not totally surprised, because of, you know, all the other things that kind of came out of that meeting. I know Palantir announced a lot of deals, and that's kind of what this administration is about, is, you know, like them or love them or hate them, it's just kind of a deal making and everybody's wetting the beak, and crypto is definitely on the forefront of those deals with, you know, like we've talked about with, you know, the Trump family involved in crypto. So again, just more moving forward, more regulation, more marching, and kind of any other thoughts of that before we move on to kind of that Brian Armstrong quote, because that's a perfect segue to where we're going.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it's the perfect segue. Take us away.
Yeah, so we've brought this up on the show as, you know, the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. People obviously were really, you know, stoked about it. And, you know, I know it was, we've broken down how many times it was, we're trying to do this in a budget neutral way. So, we're going to look into buying more Bitcoin, but it's going to be in a budget neutral way. And then since the announcement, we haven't heard anything. But there's been a lot of rumblings under the surface of when or could this happen. And I think it's obviously a no-brainer. If it does happen, it's going to be a huge, huge catalyst. And these type of announcements with the U.S. and the U.K., and I just feel like it is baby steps. But when you have big names, so we're pulling up a clip here from Brian Armstrong, who's going to be talking about it. But when you start to hear people like Brian Armstrong, who's at these summits and at the White House and, you know, working with, you know, the crypto, you know, the crypto czar David Sacks, and when he starts to talk about this, I feel like, and we'll listen to it and then we'll break it down, but I feel like we're closer to it possibly happening than kind of ever before. So let's take a look.
We also saw the United States of America now has a strategic Bitcoin reserve. So if the United States government is going to begin holding Bitcoin, I think that's going to be a massive driver of demand, and the rest of the G20 countries will probably follow suit. And then the last thing I'd say is that we saw recently the launch of the Bitcoin ETFs by a number of different firms, and yeah, Coinbase is actually powering 80% of the custody for those that are out there. But we're seeing a ton of institutional money continue to flow into Bitcoin now that these ETFs are live. So there's a lot of positive tailwinds for Bitcoin, and I think that there's never going to be more than 21 million Bitcoin ever made in the world, and lots of pools of capital still haven't gotten access to it. So that tells me this thing has a long way to run.
So he's saying, you know, not only the United States, you know, has it and maybe working towards buying more, but, you know, all the G20, all the major countries in the world are going to be either following suit or eventually looking into building some type of Bitcoin reserve.
And I sure hope we see it. I think it's only a matter of time. I really do. I think it's only a matter of time until countries have some. Now, I won't go so far as to say everyone's going to have these massive Bitcoin reserves. They're only going to transact in Bitcoin. They're going to get rid of their banks, right? That's a common belief that we see on the internet where people say Bitcoin will become the next one world currency. Banks are going to go extinct. All fiats are going to go extinct. I don't think that would happen, at least not anytime soon, right? Not anytime in the foreseeable future. But I do think it will become a normal thing for countries to have treasury reserves, especially for Bitcoin. I think saying that they could allocate 1%, 2%, 3% into Bitcoin. To me, that just makes sense. When you look at countries and what they hold, you know, maybe they hold some stocks, maybe they hold metals, maybe they hold commodities like oil, maybe they hold other foreign currencies on top of their fiats and bonds and all these things. I don't think it's a crazy thing for them to be diversified into a little bit of Bitcoin, especially if you look at all the other assets that they hold, whether it is maybe other fiat currencies outside of their own, I don't think it's a crazy thing for them to say, okay, let's sprinkle in some other fiats, let's sprinkle in some commodities, let's sprinkle in some bonds and some metals, and oh, by the way, let's get 2% Bitcoin. Not anything crazy, not 20%, not 50%, not 100%, maybe 1, 2, 3% Bitcoin allocation, maybe more than that. I mean, we've seen plenty of countries already do more than that. That's not a crazy thing to say. Now, again, we're not going to have every country doing this by the end of the year, but I think as time moves on, this idea of countries having treasuries and crypto reserves will become a much, much more normal thing. It just makes sense in terms of risk mitigation. You can't have, I mean, what is Bitcoin in terms of market cap? Do we know? I know it's like a top 10 asset by market cap up there with like gold, which is like, I think 20 or 30 trillion in market cap and everything else. Does that not make logical sense to have something that's like seven in market cap? Was it eight?
Number eight right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, riddle me this. How can you have something that is the eighth largest asset in the world and it makes sense to not have at least a little bit of exposure to it, right? They look at gold and say, okay, well, that's number one. We should have exposure to that. Well, stocks, right? The markets, we should have at least a little bit of exposure to that. Silver, all these other things. You know, we see oil companies up there. I think it just makes natural sense that if you have the eighth largest asset in the world, it's not anything crazy to say maybe we should have 1, 2, 3% exposure to something like this, even if it is more volatile. And so from that argument, I just see us moving continually more in that direction.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it just comes down to kind of, it's not on your timeline, right? We always talk about, you know, zoom out, you know, you're gonna have these volatile days and weeks, and you know, it might question your conviction, but that's kind of what we try to build here is the community that, you know, you guys can come to get the information to know what's going on. And then, you know, obviously if you want to get more involved, we always say, you know, we have our the community with the team and the newsletters and the coaching calls. So if you're interested in any of that, you know, I do have the links down there. I know there's like a $1 trial if you want to test that out. There's Brendan's trading course. And that's just kind of what this is about. It's always more fun to have the shows when we're ripping and we're pulling up charts and we're up 10%, 20%. But we've had that. And again, if you even just the 3-month zoom out or the 2-month, go back to like, I think it's like July. We kind of had our last big rip up in the spring, kind of off those April lows. And we've just been a little bit sideways in a way for a while, but there's been some big swings. And that's just crypto. That's why we're here. And there's a bunch of different ways, again, with like your trading strategies and technical analysis, that you can kind of take advantage of those swings. So there's always ways kind of to make money. But if you're zooming out, we're in a good spot. And just again, the regulation is something that I don't think you can discount. We're not even a year in to this administration. And, you know, kind of like we said, whether you love it or hate it, crypto's on the docket and they're moving it forward at a breakneck speed. And so it's hard to think about not wanting to be a part of this asset class and how it's going to continue to grow at the company level, which you're seeing with, you know, all those different companies putting Bitcoin on their balance sheet and now Ethereum on the balance sheet, Solana, et cetera. And then again, what we just pulled up, we don't know the actual specifics about it, but you know, we're talking about a partnership of crypto regulations with the UK. You know, off the top of my head, Brendan, I'm thinking maybe some type of stable coins regulation, yeah, where, you know, all these world banks that work together and transfer money all the time, especially the quote unquote, like the overnight rate, you know, can we put some crypto rails on that and make it more efficient for, you know, obviously the businesses, that's who really wants it, and the countries want to make the most money. But, you know, the hope is that the end user of us and the people with the bank accounts can, you know, upgrade the system, because we've pounded that how, you know, the average bank account is just collecting dust for the user while the bank is making all the profits. And, you know, hopefully these crypto rails can help change that around the world.
Yeah, and I think they can. And it's like you said, that kind of thing takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not all going to happen in a month or a year. And so, listen, we'll continue to see more and more adoption. That's not even a doubt in my mind. But what's interesting here is some of these altcoins that we have been tracking. And we've looked at on-chain activity for, I mean, a handful of these. We looked at it on Hyperliquid. I mean, talking about how they have 75% of the perpetual or 80% of perps dominance. We've looked at Pump.Fun and showed kind of that big trend shift. And we've talked about it over here. I know, especially in-house, about how they've stolen all their market dominance back from Bonk and Radium and other players. We've talked about it with Aerodrome and their dominance of Base. Well, I want to put everyone on another one now where we look at AVAX. I mean, daily transactions on AVAX is up over 800% in the last 6 months. I mean, look at this chart. It's crazy. It's parabolic in nature where we see that AVAX's daily transactions have just skyrocketed. Now, what's been happening as a result of this? Well, AVAX's chart has been just taking off as well. And we've seen that thing soaring back to the upside. Now it's coming back in. It's dipping a little bit with the whole rest of the crypto market over the weekend. That's not anything too crazy. But we are starting to see this thing get a little bit of an extra bump. So I noticed this. I wish I would have caught this a little bit earlier, probably sometime in the last week or two. I wish I would have caught it a bit faster. But still something that's happening. And again, our job over here is to do all the research, look at the on-chain stuff, stuff that maybe not everyone understands, and break it down and bring it to the forefront here. And so again, we've talked about a bunch of different names on the show so far. We've talked about Pump. We've talked about Aerodrome. We've talked about Hyperliquid. We're going to talk about AVAX now. We've talked about some of the stuff that's happened here with Solana lately. And yeah, so just another kind of thing to think about. This one took me a surprise or by surprise. I was not expecting to see this kind of huge increase from AVAX, but I'm glad to see it. I have a little bit of exposure here, so let's keep it going.
Yeah, any insight into what's causing it? I mean, I know they're big on they had the meme. It was actually a year ago, in November. Let's pull up this share this tab. So yeah, basically a year ago, I kind of remember it was around Art Basel. So if you go back to the episode a year ago down in Miami, I had some friends down there and they all started texting me about AVAX, like, oh, AVAX, you know, what's Avalanche? And then it had that, you can see, so that's always in November. So it was November last year, and then it went on this run in December, and the AVAX, they had a meme run. And then obviously that narrative switched to Solana for the beginning of the year. You know, any insight into what might be causing this? Is it memes? Is it gaming? Or just kind of just a little narrative switch?
It's a little bit of a mix. I mean, they've had some big upgrades after and with AVAX 9000. They've been upgrading it. They've been seeing just a bump in activity from a bunch of different things, from memes to games. And they had the launch of something called Black Hole, which is their new, I would say, primary decentralized exchange. And so Black Hole's seen a lot of activity and attention, and that's been growing. I think that's been like one of the biggest contributors. So if you look at what's happening with, again, Black Hole and the upgrades and some of the spaces that they're working in, it's just kind of been a steady increase of like constructive things. And what we're now seeing is that kind of hard work and everything that's gone on is starting to pay off with AVAX.
Definitely something that, again, we're going to keep apprised to. I guess that's going to wrap it up. We weren't planning on going live today, but we went live for the people, Brendan, because they needed it. And again, just to reiterate, tomorrow I do have Brian and Joe coming on. So we have a full meme coin update. You're not going to want to miss that. Later in the week on Friday, we're, I believe, hopefully going to have the entire team with us for a full rundown and just kind of a prepare for October live stream. So you're not going to want to miss that. You know, if you're here today, this morning, you caught us. We didn't really promote it. So thanks for being here. Give us a thumbs up, throw it a like. And if you're new, hit the subscribe button, bottom right, check out our logo. And Brendan, I'll toss it back to you to close us out.
Yeah. Well, like TiVo said, everyone, thank you all for joining us. We love doing these crypto rundowns. Like you said, we weren't even planning on doing one, but you're looking at the market, we're looking at what's going on, we're like, dude, we gotta pump one of these out. People are gonna be curious about what's happening on the dip and the pullback and all these other things. And again, no like definite reason of like, oh, crypto got banned here or there, or legislation didn't get passed. Like, there's really none of that out there. Just some big liquidations from people that were over leveraged pushing into the highs. And these kind of things happen from time to time. So don't freak out too much. We're going to continue to keep all of you updated with everything that's happening. Again, if you like the content, hit the like and subscribe button. We have more of these to come. Another really big episode on Friday. So stay tuned for that. But thank you all for watching, and we'll see all of you at the same time, same place, very soon. Take care.